The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. What was he like? Jesus, that is. He was famous. And you know, always, the lives of famous people are very carefully studied and scrutinized. What was Jesus like? I don't mean his appearance, necessarily, but I mean his person and his personality. What was he like? Who was he? Now, that question is not at all inappropriate. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ himself once asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And of course, you know, a lot of different answers were given. Just like today. Who is Jesus? What is he like? A lot of people give different answers. More and more are saying, well, he was a great man. His beginning was in deep poverty. And some are even, and their numbers is increasing, intimating that it wasn't exactly on the up and up. They say he was a very precocious child, very intelligent, keen, sharp. When he became a man, he was a soft, a tender, a kind, a sympathetic, a warm person. He had charisma. Oh, he had a lot of charisma. He influenced people like no one else. His philosophy was new and different. Different than the old pagan philosophy. Different than the legalistic philosophy of the rabbis. They say he even was willing to sacrifice himself, a martyr to his cause, and his spirit lives on. You're going to hear more and more of that right along. That's the liberalism, the humanistic approach to Jesus. What was he like? Who is he? You know the answer. The answer is given very clearly in the revealed scriptures. He was, he is, and ever shall be the Son of God and the Son of Man, the great God-man. And in every stage of his coming into this world, he exhibited and showed his deity. And so it is that when he arrived at the age when a Jewish boy became a son of the law, that's around the age of 12, he exhibited in a great and wonderful way that he is truly more than just a boy, more than just a man. You know, the custom was that at the age of 12, a Jewish boy, having been trained and taught in the law and the prophets, went through some sort of a ceremony. Today it's called Bar Mitzvah, still practiced. And so it was that when Jesus was 12, he, having been prepared, of course, was permitted to go with his parents to the temple in Jerusalem on the great feast. It was their custom. They were faithful members of Israel. And then you know what happened, of course. Jesus stayed behind as the parents and their company left. He stayed behind in the Father's house. And he didn't just sit around and marvel at the great beauty of the temple. But there he was with the teachers, the lawyers, the scribes, the men, the rabbis who had studied the word, who interpreted it. And lo and behold, he was listening to them, answering their questions and asking them questions. And what he revealed was totally astonishing, we're told. Everyone was amazed, overwhelmed. They had never heard anything like this. Jesus showed that he was indeed more than just a boy, more than just a human being. You know, generally in the state of humiliation, Jesus doing for us and for the whole world what needed to be done, namely pay the ransom for our sins and fulfill the law for us. His deity, shall we say, was veiled in humanity. But again and again, he allowed the glimpses of his Godhead to shine through, so that the apostles, the disciples, could say indeed, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here, at the tender age of 12, he didn't only pass the confirmation examination, if you want to call it that, that the average boy passes when he becomes the son of the law, but he became the teacher of the wise, and thereby showed his omniscience, showed that indeed within him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, indeed, this 12-year-old lad is the Son of God. We know that his early life was very quiet. It was a period of quiescence, but this was one of those shining moments when he stood and let the rays of his deity, his divinity, shine through very clearly. Joseph and Mary were disturbed when they didn't find Jesus. You know that too. It's part of the story. And they looked for him. And I'm sure they searched everywhere they thought a 12-year-old lad in Jerusalem would be. Maybe they didn't think they'd find him in the temple, but when they found him there, they were totally overwhelmed and amazed. And even Mary didn't fully recognize the true character of her son. She chided Jesus and said, "Jesus, what have you done? You have caused us such worry and heartache. We were worried and frightened. We sought you all this while." Jesus again gave a glimpse of his deity. He said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business, really the affairs and the things of my Father?" It is very clear that Jesus the Christ, from Bethlehem to the Mount of Ascension, always and fully was the true, eternal God, the everlasting Son of the Father. And he knew it. He is the God-man who was all through his life and through his ministry concerned about the affairs, the business of the Father, was he not? When in the Garden of Gethsemane he knelt there in agony and pain and he said, "Father, the cup is so heavy, so full, so bitter. Could it pass? If possible, let it pass. If not, your will, your thing, be done." And it was. Jesus had to go the way of the cross, the way of the grave, the resurrection, in order to redeem us. That was the Father's way. That was the thing of his Father. And Jesus, at the tender age of 12, so very clearly showed forth how this is the important thing. And every child of the Heavenly Father should be concerned about the things, the affairs, the business of the Father. That means you, and it means me too. Through Jesus Christ, the God-man, the wonderful Savior, we have forgiveness, and we have been adopted into the family of God. We have the adoption of sons by Christ's keeping of the law and paying the ransom on the cross. And now, we need also with Jesus to say, "Don't you know my business is God's business, is the Father's business?" And I know that you are preparing yourself in a very special way to be engaged in the Father's business of studying, of teaching, of preaching, of proclaiming the word, and the administering the sacraments. That is good. Always turn to Jesus, however, for your strength and for your power, that you may do that. For he has all the power and all the grace to give. And with the grace of Jesus Christ filling us, we will indeed be happy to be about the Father's business, to take care of his things. And so we go to Jesus, who did it all for us, and from him we draw strength, and in a very special way, today, again, we draw strength from him through the Blessed Sacrament, in which he comes with his own body and blood and enters us and says, I will indeed give you strength, for I assure you, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Heavenly Father, and my grace is with you. So, friend, the Father's business, that's all of it for us. Let us draw strength from Jesus, who did it all in our stead. Amen.